prospers. Thank you. 要设想这个诗歌里面的意思，要用我们的心来唱，这样我们就不能不开口来感谢，来赞美，来发表我们心中的那个感受。这样的诗歌，如果只是唱一唱的话，那就完全是宗教里面的唱诗。这样的诗歌啊，那个内容啊，充满了意义，充满了意义。应该唱的时候啊，要蛮有感觉，蛮有那个爱的感觉。因为这个诗歌的题目啊，它就是一个爱人的诗歌。我的良人呐、啊，就是我的爱人，或者说就是我所爱的那一位。然后那个第三节啊，就是我唱的那里特别的宝贵，我不知道你们有没有什么特别的感觉啊？第三节。说我今啊行进你靠近你，哦，最可爱的救主，你的容美吸引我，常常住在你的爱里面啊。莫向我的心湮灭，因为他崇拜你啊。那个最后一行第三节，你曾寻我。称我为你的歌词，我们唱的，我刚才唱的这句就想到，我们来国鼎啊，唱到那个特别副歌，主舍命流血啊，他就是来寻找我的，他就是来寻找你，嗯。他的上司是这样哈，就是为寻找你啊，寻找我。他说我来哈，就是寻找拯救那失丧的羊。我们呢？没有遇见主啊，我们都是失丧的人，失丧的灵魂。他现在找到我们，他不但找到我们哈，他这里说是哈，他称我们是他的鸽子。这个鸽子哈，不是单单一只鸟啊，这个鸽子有很深属灵的意思，就是。我们是他所爱的，深深所爱的，就是我们在他的眼目中啊，是最可爱的。那个圣经里说啊，我虽然黑啊，我虽然黑，却是美丽的。黑就是我们是个罪人。但是在爱我们主的心目中啊，我们是何等的宝贵，我们是何等的可爱。你们做过父母的人呢、啊，有孩子的你们就知道，无论你们的孩子怎么样，有的孩子好像长得很可爱很美，有的孩子长得不是那么美。但是在父母的眼光中，孩子都是美的，都是可爱的。我们要在这里要思想哈，主的爱，这个神爱世人，甚至于将他的独生子赐给他们，甚至可是世界的人呢，他 太少太少能够明白这个神的爱，就好像做儿女的哈，真正懂得父母的爱的儿女啊，很少，很少。那个儿女好像什么都是当然的，呵呵。哦，有时候有的儿女呢不听话，叫父母啊生气啊，有的时候啊这个父母气的都不想活，这个但是儿女不知道，儿女不知道这种心态。正如啊好多基督徒生的儿女不听话，不注意啊神所说的话。我常常说哦，太多的基督徒啊不知道那个圣经的话就是神的话是多么的宝贵，他们不知道。所以哦，这首诗歌哦，就是讲到主的爱，他怎么爱我们，他怎么可爱，还有因为他爱我们，我们在他的眼中就是那么的可爱。如果你要是觉得没有人爱你，哦，我告诉你，耶稣最爱你。如果有人呢，要是讨厌你、轻看你，我告诉你，耶稣最爱你，他最宝贵你。哦，我们不知道，我们不知道。Such love.Such love, we don't realize how much God loves us. We don't realize what a price that Jesus paid in order to find us. He said, I have come to seek and save those who are lost. Even Christians who are supposed to have been found by the Lord do not realize how much God loves us, how much He desires to have us with Him. I was explaining a little bit the third verse, which struck me when I sang it, especially the last sentence of that verse. Hast thou not sought me and called me thy dove? Yes, He has come. You see, the communion service, there is so much that we can meditate on, that we can drink the spiritual riches, not just this grape juice, but the apostle called it the unsearchable riches of Christ. And we're here to drink, you know, we partake of this communion, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Not just His body, but His all. His all. When He said that this is my body, you eat of it, and this is my blood, you drink of it. He was telling us that He was giving all of Himself all that he held. His life, his salvation, his life, his wisdom, his power, his love, his peace. We're going to hear a little bit more from Sister Martha. I feel that we should hear from more about it. She has, from her perspective, what the communion really means to all of us. That may true. Oh, such love. Oh, our beloved. That may true. And this song reminds me of Dr. Gray. I'm sure that Sister Martha knows that. This was the song that sang at his funeral. And we had the good fortune of having Dr. Gray in our church in Maryland. And we had him stay in our home also. Had a wonderful fellowship with him. What a godly man. What a scholarly man. He was an expert in the Hebrew language. He was the head of 3 Bible colleges. That made June. And one day he was passing through Washington, D.C. And he had to wait for his connecting flight. Excuse me. For a couple of hours, I don't know how long, so he had nothing to do. And he called me from the airport and asked me if I would come to see him. And so I went, and in the waiting area, those days we were free to go in the waiting area, and we were talking about the love of Jesus. And he was telling me what a wonderful Savior, what a wonderful Savior that Jesus was, and oh, how he loved him, and Jesus loved him. He just talked about the love of Jesus, you know. And he got to a point, we were sitting there in the waiting, you know, area. He got a point and he got up and said, "Brother Chow," he says, "this business of loving Jesus is getting better all the time." He says, "Praise the Lord." And he was like, pacing. And he was in his 80s, late 80s already. Oh, what a wonderful man he was, and in love. He was in love with Jesus all the time. He was at Pilgrim Camp. He spoke there. He visited Ridgewood and had good relationship with the Ridgewood Fellowship. 这首诗歌我刚才说让中文说一下这个我们以前认识的那个Dr. Gray 老弟兄那Martha 的老师也是他的老师那个 Dr. Gray 常常到那个Jet Fason 去虽然呢他是一个3个圣经学院的院长而且呢他是希伯来文的专家。那我们认识他了以后他跟我们有很好的交通。那个时候我们在 DC 牧会啊他来过
有两三次至少，每一次来都住在我们家，所以我们就很多的交通。那有一天他到 Virginia Fredericksburg 这个教会，他就要经过 DC， 可是呢他要等他的下一次的那个班机啊，也可能有一两个小时，他就没有事情做，他就打电话给我，他说你有空吗？哦，我现在要等飞机，要等一两个钟头啊，有空的话你可以来机场啦，我们有一些交通。结果我就去了，去了那个，他就是啊，也就是爱耶稣这个老人，而且是个学者啊，好难得。他就是讲他要住的爱怎么样的好啊，这样他已经八十几岁了那个时候啊，所以他跟我讲了，讲到一个地步啊，他就是站起来，他就说，哦，他说这个周弟兄啊，他叫我 brother 周，他说，哦，这个爱耶稣啊，太好了，越来越好，他说，越来越可爱。赞美主。哦，亲爱的弟兄姐妹，我们跟主耶稣，他不是偶像，要记得，他不是像中国人所拜的佛啊、偶像啊、庙啊，里面什么关公啊这一类的，他是永活的神，他也是爱我们的神，他一度在肉身里面，就是耶稣来到这个地上。他就是告诉我们他多么的爱我们。那今天呢，他是在圣灵里来到我们，因为上帝就是灵，就是圣灵，他不是一个东西，一个偶像，他不是人呢，用金银啊、石头木头做出来的，人是他造的，人所造出来的那当然都不是神，呵呵，那都是偶像。但是他多么的爱我们这位老弟兄啊、哦！我们今天呢跟神的关系只有在圣灵里面，我们对于圣灵啊太不够认识。感谢主，最近就是在我们网校里头啊，越来越多的人呢，就认识圣灵啊，哦，就跟神的关系越来越活泼，越来越爱主的那个爱越来越火热。赞美主，因为你一旦呢，跟他在灵里面、圣灵里面发生关系，你才知道他是又真又活的神，而且他的灵啊、哦，就是爱的灵。就是生命的灵，也是啊，赐能力、赐人智慧的灵。而我们现在说是神在我们里面的哈，不是一个东西哈，我们他的灵，他的灵在我们的里面，我们也在他的里面。而他的灵也不是一小块的，他的灵是充满万有的，就好像空气一样，知道吧？所以他在我们里面，就好像空气在我们的里面，我们也在空气的里面，可是我们不觉得，因为我们缺少这个圣经的这个教导和知识，所以我们没有这种知识说他在我们里面呢，我们在他里面，他就是灵，他就是我们的气，对吧？我们所活的那一口气就是说它是我们的生命，这个生命就是一口气，就是生命之气，它在我们的里面，我们太不够认识。Oh, how we need to know him better and better. We need to know him better. Yeah. so much that we know that he is in us and that we are in him. And that we become conscious of his presence. And in a way that he talks to me, he walks with me, and he tells me what is wrong and what is right. And he corrects me all the time. Is that the kind of Jesus do you have? Or just a Christian going to church on Sunday? Or maybe a little better and read your Bible at home and pray. You know. That is good. But that is not good enough. But the Christian, the kind of Christian that God is after is that you have a relationship with him and that he lives in you and you in him. It's like the ear I was just comparing. He said, well, don't realize that every day, you know, we're in the ear. Air is in us. If we don't have oxygen in us, we're not going to live. But, oh, God is in us. He has given us this spirit of life, spirit of love, and spirit of power. All of these. He's our life. How we need to know him. We really should pray to know him. To know Jesus better. Oh God, give us a cry in our heart that I may know you better. I want to know you better, Jesus. Knowing God is the highest form of science in this world. Every other science is to know the things that are created by God. Knowing God, the Creator, wow, that is the highest side. But we need to have a desire to know him, see. People, they have interest in many other things in the world. They have their own interest, you know, the things that they are interested, they want to pursue, but oh God, help us. Help us know you better, to know you better. And if we pray, God will make himself known, better known to you. He always responds us. He never disappoints us. Me too. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. 谢谢主耶稣. Hallelujah. All right, 我们再唱一遍这个。 唱完了呢, 我们就请那个 Sister Martha 给我们有一点分享。 我在国宾, 因为他很难得来到我们当中, so let's sing this one more time, my beloved. Then we will hear from Sister Martha. She's used to come to Dallas many, many years ago. 14, 15 years ago, he used to come every year, but nowadays, very rarely does he come. So she's here with us this week. We even thank God. We want to hear from her after we sing this one more time. Okay. Get into this content, the wonderful content of this song. 我们唱的时候要进入这个诗歌的这个那个意思内容的里面，好，跟我们谈一遍，然后我们一起唱。
Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful call to fall in love with Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I don't know if somebody's going to help you with my English, Chinese. You're going to help me, John? Okay, you can all understand.
She thinks not here at Daniel's.
That's okay.
None of the translators is here.
Emma, you could do it. Emma? Emma, are you okay? Okay. Oh, she's sick. Hallelujah. So wonderful to be here this morning in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When I woke up this morning, I turned on my cell phone to see what the weather was like. And all of a sudden, I saw the date, March the 1st, 2020. Oh, I said, it's March the 1st. Very special day for me. Because March the 1st, 1966, was the day that I made a consecration to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's over 65 years ago. It was March the 1st. I had had a serious operation in January, the day before my 23rd birthday, and the doctor said he spared me from cancer by doing this emergency surgery, but he said, you'll never have any children. But that's not true because I have several children right here. I was with Emma last night and I feel, oh, I can't believe she's not 35 years old. She was in her 30s when she and Mercy and became children of mine. As Pastor said, 15 years ago. But at that time, the Lord was dealing with me that he would be a husband to me. When I woke up, it was, as I said, my 23rd birthday. I turned to Jesus and, what are you saying to me, Jesus? And he made it clear that he would be a husband to me and that we would have children. And actually, 20 years later, I was at Pilgrim Camp. I worked all summer, John, and I had 40 children that year. I had them in the village 2 weeks at a time, girls, and then down in the cottage in August, I had more. And also, I met the first chow in my life that belonged to Pastor. His daughter, Esther, was in charge of the cottage, and we were roommates. We served together, the children. And that summer, when her parents came, she introduced me to her dad and mother. That's when I first met them, and I counted the children up through the summer, and there were 40 children that I had the opportunity to have. And then when I was also there, I met pastors from Canada, wanted me to come and serve with them. They were opening a faith home training center for ministers. They knew I had been living in a faith home in Zion, Illinois, that was founded by Martha Robinson. And they asked me, would I come and be the housekeeper? So I prayed, and Jesus opened the door that I went and worked 3 years in that home. And at that time, Pastor and Sister Nancy came to minister there. This was in the 90s, before they ever came to Texas. And when they came, my pastor said, they need a chauffeur. Will you drive them in the church van to Canada, Toronto, big city? I said, okay. I drove them there. They had to have a meeting among the Chinese. There were to be 100 students that were training in the medical profession from mainland China. They were invited to a big Thanksgiving dinner by a doctor. The doctor's home was twice this size of this home, upstairs and downstairs, magnificent home, and he provided a beautiful dinner for the Chinese students that didn't know Christ, and they asked Pastor Chow to speak to them, and Pastor asked me to give a little testimony about my healing. I had rheumatic fever as a child, and God healed me miraculously to my mother's prayer. My mother saw me dying for 2 weeks, hemorrhaging from my mouth and nose, and the doctor gave up on me. He said, just take care of her, keep her comfortable. And I remember I was 9 years old. Remember the pail where there was always a flow of blood from my fever and heart. And mother knelt by my side and on the couch where I lay, and she said, Lord, either heal Martha or take her home. Don't let her suffer. In the morning, she was up in the kitchen making my father's breakfast for work. I got up off the couch, and I went to the door of the kitchen. Mother said, what are you doing off that couch? I said, I'm hungry. I hadn't eaten for 2 weeks. She said, you go lay down. She called the doctor. He said, give her whatever she wants and bring her in to see me. And when I went in at 9 years old, he took me upstairs in his office to a cardiologist, heart doctor. And he tested my heart, put those, EKG on me. He said, there's nothing wrong. It's a perfect heart. It's a perfect heart. God heard the prayer of a mother. Oh, how he hears your prayers over your little ones. He hears. And so here I am at 23 now. The doctor's saying he spared me from cancer. And then I'm in Canada telling that story about the rheumatic fever, because one of the doctors that I ate beside, my first Chinese food, they had black mushrooms, and they had all these fancy fish and lobsters and everything there. But the girl sitting next to me that didn't know the Lord, she said, I'm a rheumatoid doctor. I said, oh, I had a healing from rheumatic fever by God. And so I was telling Pastor how I talked to her about that and told her what I've just told you. And he said, Pastor said, Martha, I want you to share your testimony. Okay. Nancy, my first interpreter, she interpreted for me that night. And when he asked, Pastor spoke, gave him the gospel, the message of the cross, the message of redemption through the blood of Jesus. And 20, for the first time, accepted Christ as their Savior.
Yes.
It was marvelous. Because a girl that got saved there in Toronto, had been witnessing to them for 4 years. She worked in the hospital where they were training for the medical profession. And she did the laundry. But she found them from China, and she would invite them to go apple picking or go to Niagara Falls, witnessing to them, but no conversions. She said, not in 4 years did anybody accept Christ. But that night, 20 accepted Christ. And that was during, Pastor went back to Maryland where they were pastoring in the 80s, I guess. It was in the 80s, because you didn't come here to What year did you come here? What year did you come here?
2000.
2000. Oh, it was, well, I mean, it was 1980s. I'm pretty sure it was, or maybe 70s. Anyway, it was during the Tiananmen Square incident. That was the timeline. Pastor went back, and I told my Canadian pastors what happened. They allowed me to have the van and drive into Toronto, that I could be with this group that just got saved and have Bible study with them. Even though I couldn't speak Chinese, they had a section that was Mandarin, and they provided a supper for them. And sometime on holiday, we'd have 100 of them come. And when I married my husband there in Canada, he would go with me, and we would learn to sing. Or if we testify, they interpret for us. And that's where I learned Shanai Shirin Shanjir Chankati Du Sanai Sage Tamen Chawich Sindari Chawich Sindari Uchir Mei Wong Under Yang Shin. I learned that 30 years ago. Before Pastor ever before he ever came to Texas. But the Lord blessed that work, and souls were saved. It was a Baptist church, but the Baptists, we mustn't look down on Baptists. They have hearts. My sister just died this last week ago, and she was buried Thursday. I went to the funeral, and the Baptist and the girls came with me, my girls, Jenny and Mercy and Alice and Emma, they come to the funeral. These Baptist people were so kind and gracious to us, open their hearts, and have such an interest in souls, reaching out, very generous. And in fact, the girl I told you about that ministered 4 years in Toronto, she was from Vietnam. She was one of the boat people. And when she came there, she was a communist, but she had been deceived by them. But the Baptist church in Toronto came and visited her in the winter. She wasn't used to winter, brought slippers, brought blankets. She thought, what's their angle? What do they want from me like the communists wanted? What is their purpose? And 6 months go by, and she found out it was no purpose. They were real. They were sincere. They were kind. They were loving. They want to introduce her to Jesus and his blood that would save her from sin. And she was converted. She's still going all over China every vacation she has. And she had this heart for the Chinese. So, you know, we don't look down on, say, whether you're Pentecostal or full gospel or Baptist. We all are going to be one in heaven. There'll be no denominations there. It's, do you know him? As Pastor said, the greatest prayer you can pray is, oh, that I might know him. I might know you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The song that was sung today, I happen to be one of those ones beside John, I think, that knew Dr. Gray. Dr. Gray visited my teacher twice a year. He considered her mother his teacher. She was also Hans Waffelgel's teacher, Loretta Judd, Loretta Mae Judd. But her daughter was my teacher, and Dr. Grace considered his teacher. He would ask her, teach me how to know Jesus. And the Holy Spirit would come upon her. He'd take his tape recorder every year and sit in the room waiting on the Lord, waiting for the Lord to speak to him. And he'd go home and play those words from the Lord. But her favorite song was what was sung at his funeral, My Beloved. That was her favorite. Mm-hmm. What we just sang. So I went there to learn how to find Jesus. I'm still searching. I'm still praying. Let me know you, Jesus. Let me find you. Let me do your will. And March the 1st, Miss Judd told me, Martha, when I had that serious operation, you need to make a complete consecration. You need to give yourself altogether to him. Not just say, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to escape hell. No, he wants you to belong altogether to him. He's looking for lovers. He's looking for those who will love him with all their heart. I said, well, I do love him. No, there's more. There's more. He wants a bride. He's looking for a bride. The Holy Spirit is going all over the world searching for a bride. Someone who'll be closer than a friend. You've got lots of friends. And some of you only have one husband. That's good. But a husband is closer than friends or buddies. And Lord Jesus wants to be our husband. And he wants men and women. It's not just ladies. And some men think, oh, I can't be a bride. Yes, you can. You can be a bride. Dr. Gray, who we heard about this morning, he's a professor in these three Bible colleges. He was a great scholar, and he would come visit us. He would sit with my teacher like a little child, so hungry for Jesus, so earnest. He couldn't talk about him without crying. He was so in love with Jesus. He had a wife, he had children, but he knew that our souls are to be bride souls. They're to be united to the King. They're to be the bride of Christ. And what does the bride look like? She's clean. She's white, without spot or wrinkle.
Hallelujah.
Why? She's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's what made her ready for the King. And so I encourage men oftentimes. And Pastor Chow took me to Malaysia with him. He asked me to speak in the meeting about the bride of Christ. And it was full of men, a thousand people that day in the meeting. And when we talked about the bride and our need for purity in the church of God, we need holiness. We need garments that are without spot or wrinkle. We need a deep cleansing, a deep washing from the filthiness of the flesh and the natural. And when we spoke about the bride there, as Pastor instructed to do, I couldn't believe it. 90% of those men came to the altar. It was a big altar. It had steps on it. And when I went to get down from the platform, that altar was all, looked like it rained in there. There were tears. There were all tears on the altar of men and women, too. But men, tall men, men from Malaysia, Chinese men, they were weeping. Asking Jesus for that cleansing, that washing, that purging. And that was Dr. Gray's great desire. He wanted to be ready. He wanted to be a bride soul. A soul that was ready for the marriage of the Lamb. Without spot, without wrinkle, washed in his blood. He wanted to be a lover. He was. He was a lover of Jesus, and his other teacher, Hans Walfogel, had the same desire. He was a strong German Swiss man, but he had a soul that wanted to be a bride. He wanted to be in love with Jesus. You know, he started every meeting. Pastor probably remembers it. He'd say, "Are you still in love with Jesus?"
Mm-hmm.
He'd come to the platform. And I've heard he used to walk there on tiptoe because he didn't want to disturb the presence of the Lord. He'd come in softly. And he'd ask, are you still in love with Jesus?
Yeah.
Or have you gotten in love with his work? Mm-hmm. Have you gotten in love with service? Mm-hmm. Have you gotten in love with the world? Have you gotten in love with yourself? Or you prefer yourself? But that was his question. Are you still in love with Jesus like you were at first? Are you still attracted by him, desiring him? My dear teacher, Miss Judd, you might read about her in Radiant Glory. She was a true lover of Jesus. I was so amazed at her love. And this being her favorite song, she liked that first stanza that says, "Down in the valley among the sweet lilies." She said, "Walks my beloved, his footprints I see, down in the valley, among the sweet lilies. Walks my beloved, his footprints I see." Because she realized, if you want to find Jesus, if you want to know Jesus, you've got to go down in the valley. That's where he lives. He doesn't live on that high mountain of self-esteem. He was the servant of all. We know that. We all have been trained about that. So that's why she loved this song, "Down in the valley, among the sweet lilies, walks my beloved. His footprints I see." That's where he lives. She'd say, "Martha, that's where he lives. You have to come down.
Amen.
You have to humble yourself if you want to find him. Because he's there. His weight's there for us to turn to him. Walks my beloved, his footprints." She said, "Haste would I follow him, my lover." And she also liked that last stanza, 4. "Gentler thy voice than the whisper of angels, brighter thy smile than the sun in the sky. Grant me, gather me tenderly close to your bosom." Especially she would like that last phrase that said, "Faint with your loveliness, thus let me die." People don't like to talk about dying to self. They don't like to say, well, if it hurts to be criticized, it hurts to be put down. But she'd say, "Let me faint in death to self by his loveliness." That as we fall in love with him, we hardly notice that we're dying. We hardly notice the pinpricks. Mr. Ruby used to call them, they're only pinpricks. That when people say something cruel to you or harsh or just not respect you or put you down or you have something that hurts you. She said, "Martha, they're just pinpricks. They let the glory out." She was like Sister Nancy. Oh, Ruby was like Sister Nancy. She loved to dance in the glory of the Lord. She was a glory vessel. So full of glory. But that was the
Ruby.
Sister Ruby.
McKinnon.
And so that's what that verse means. Faint with his loveliness. Oh. Instead of looking at the person that hurt us or the person that troubled us or what we don't like, or we say, "Oh, I'm being crucified." No. Gaze at him, and you faint with his beauty, his loveliness. You're so in love with him. He went the way of the cross. He went the way of crucifixion. And if he, Paul said, I'm crucified with him. I die daily. Do we ever die? But he died daily. He says, it's no longer I, but Christ that lives in me. I die every day. You know, it's set before us. Do we accept it by falling in love with Jesus, or do we reject it? They don't need to treat me that way, and we rebel, and we miss something, because Jesus is calling us to follow the way of the cross. The cross he carried to the very end. He died on the cross. He suffered the pain, the rejection. His own people, here he came to them, but the Bible says they didn't receive him. But as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the sons and daughters of God. So he sets before us the cross. And as the song says, faint with your loveliness. That's the way to die. You fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with him. Love him more than your own self. When you think of idols, we think of, oh, Buddha, and we think of these things that people are bound with. In Asia, how many times we had a lot of noise going on at a funeral because they were marching the idol through the town. Remember, I think that happened in Taiwan with Mercy and I. But actually, there are idols in our own heart. Maybe not a person. Maybe not a people that we want to please. Or maybe not, I'm thinking of what other kind of idol. The one that comes to me so strong is self-love. My opinion. My desires. My reputation. That's another one. Mrs. Robinson, you've read her story, I know. She said the last thing that went oftentimes is our reputation, what people think of us. And that becomes an idol. And it hinders the work of God. It hinders what he's doing in us. So we have idols. Sometimes self itself is an idol. Admiring ourselves. And you know, when the bride falls in love, all she said is, my dear bridegroom's face, the bride eyes not her garment, her beautiful gown, her appearance. She only has eyes for the bridegroom's face. When she walks down that aisle, she's just looking for that groom, the Lord Jesus. And her eyes are on him. She's beholding him. And she knows whatever beauty she has been imparted by his spirit and by himself. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus wants us to be conformed to his image. But it's not anything we can do about it. Last night at Emma's, we had a study on the love of God. And when we read 1 Corinthians 13, we see how deficient we are in the love of God. Are we patient? Are we kind? Do we bear everything? Are we long-suffering? Are we gentle? Are we puffed up and proud? Oh, and we feel hopeless. How can we remedy this self-love that's in us? And the answer came so clear. Pastor gave it once, and I've memorized it. He memorizes so much, and I'm not so good. But I memorized one verse in traveling with him. Romans 5, verse 5. We have this hope. We have hope that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. It's poured out into our heart by the Holy Spirit. There's our secret. It's not love we have for God. It's poured in. It's poured in by the Holy Spirit. And Pastor brought it out just recently, Friday, how we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We have nothing apart from the Holy Spirit. We need the working of the Holy Spirit in us. He pours out the love of God. He pours out the joy of the Lord. What are the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So when we see how deficient we are, and that's the purpose of getting into His presence. Oh, we think it's a wonderful time of rest. We can go to sleep. It's so comfortable when we come into the presence. One of the purposes of coming into His presence is to see ourselves the way we really are. Everyone in the Bible that saw Jesus in the Old Testament, saw God in the New Testament, they ended up seeing themselves and say, I'm undone. They saw themselves, didn't they? In the light of His presence, they saw what they were really like. Moses did. And Isaiah did. He said, I beheld Him and I said, oh, I'm undone. But then came the fire from the altar and touched him and changed Isaiah, changed Moses when that fire fell, the Holy Spirit. And Peter said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. When they got into the presence of the Lord. So my teacher said, Martha, first thing you've got to say, Lord, show me myself the way you see me. Open my eyes, show me myself. And when he does that, we see him. We see him, and he exposes the things that need to go before we're ready for our bridegroom. He wants to change us. He does it by the work of the Holy Spirit, and the initial work is done by the blood. Oh, how precious is the blood. And in this song that we were singing, that last phrase of the chorus, for me, thy life blood poured. Your life blood poured. Oh, that was so real to me this morning as we were singing it. My beloved Lord, for me, your life blood poured. It's only the blood that takes away sin.
Hallelujah.
It's only the blood that makes atonement for sin. I was reading that in Leviticus. If you want to turn there, I think it was 16 or 17. It's 17, Leviticus 17 in the Old Testament. Do you love the Old Testament? You can find Jesus in the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. Jesus is concealed there. But if you like secrets and mystery, you can find Jesus in the Old Testament. And here it is, 17 and verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's where life is. It's in the blood. Your blood's carrying the life all through your body. And I have given it to you upon the altar, the blood of the Lamb, to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. The blood of the Lamb in this case. But that was just a picture that the blood of the Lamb was going to pay the price. That's what atone means. Pay. There's a payment that was made. In order for God to give His Son a bride, and she had to be paid for. That's us. With His blood. With the blood of the Son. The Holy Spirit couldn't enter any other way. It had to come through the blood. It had to come through the blood of the Lamb. When Jesus paid the price to atone the wrath of God on sin, he paid the price to cleanse us, to wash us, to purge us, to free us. And then his spirit was poured out. Couldn't be poured out before that. Couldn't be received into unclean vessels. The vessel, Peter, even the disciples that followed him all the time he lived here, those 3.5 years, they weren't filled with the Spirit until Jesus paid the price by his own blood to make atonement for sin. And then he took that blood and he presented it to the Father. That's what it tells us in the book of Acts. And then the fire fell and God filled them with the Spirit. He filled them with the Holy Spirit. And then they were changed by that Spirit. They weren't fighting with one another. They weren't arguing who's going to be the best, the greatest. After that, they served one another. They were united in faith, and they were willing to give their lives for Jesus Christ and the gospel. But the beginning of it had to be the blood. There had to be this sacrifice of a lamb. And you know the beginning of that, that was so strong, is the story of the Passover in Exodus. God said the blood had to be on the door. I want you to take the blood of that spotless lamb, a picture of Jesus, and put it on the door. Put it above and on the side. And when the death angel came, he said, I'll pass over that house, because the blood's on the door. And if you have any fear about this Asian plague that's going on, I believe our safety is going to be in the blood of Jesus. And when we pray for those in China that belong to Christ, we ask the Lord, Lord, let the plague pass over them because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's our safety. That's our protection. That's our cleansing. There's power in the blood. And of course, this lamb that made atonement was just a picture that later, when Jesus bled, he bled when they opened his hands and they wounded his side, the blood on his head pouring down through those crown of thorns. It was for us. It was for me that he did it, that I might be cleansed, that I might be prepared for him. Oh, I'm so glad he did it. He did it for each one of us. He made a way for God's wrath against sin in my life to be paid for by the blood of Jesus. The blood cleanses us from all sin. And it's ready to wash us again this morning. You know, last week in my church in Ohio, we had our annual business meeting. And Pastor happened to have his father-in-law die last week, the same time my sister died here in Oklahoma. And he was very moved. But we had the business meeting, and he said, does anybody want to share anything about business? And one man that's in charge of our soup kitchen, because we open it once a month and feed the poor, give soup and groceries out. And this man, he's about 80-some years old. He said, something's been bothering me. He said, I feel that we perhaps should be taking communion every Sunday. That's what he felt. He said, my wife and I, his wife is a good friend of mine, excellent teacher. In fact, when you brought me here those 5 months or so, she filled in for me. And when I came back, she didn't want to give up the class. She loved teaching. That was, I thought, well, it's a Lord. I was disappointed. I loved that class. But I said, I don't know what God has for me. And sure enough, after that, you took me all over Asia. So it's a good thing she's still teaching. But she had a heart attack this summer, or a few, I think, fall sometime. And they've started, this husband and wife, every day, they take communion at home. They take a little cup and a little glass because it reminds them of the power in the blood for healing, for cleansing, for protection. And he said that. We've been doing that, and I have this burn. Well, when he said it, someone over here, another lady said, I've been feeling that way too. We should have communion every Sunday. And then someone back there said, I thought of that too last week. I heard something on television or some minister say they had communion. She said, I think we should have it more. So there was 1, 2, 3. And so today is our normal day to have communion at church. And Pastor said, well, we're open. We don't have to always do things like we've always done it. And we don't, every church is different. I'm not saying you need to do it, but they're saying we need to emphasize the blood, the power in the blood, the protection in the blood. Your children, cover them with your blood. Remember when I went to school, Mother always prayed, cover us with the blood. Keep it. When we go in the car, Jim and I had a near-fatal accident in November. Anybody looked at the pictures, they would wonder we were alive. Because a lady went through a red light and hit us about 3 times, knocked us into a telephone pole, completely demolished the car. But we were saved, spared. And the blood. Now, Jim is very faithful. Say, when we go out in the car, cover yourself with the blood, because we have that protection. And we have an enemy, too. We know that. He's out to kill, destroy, and to harm. So this morning when Pastor asked me to speak about the blood, the first thing that came to me yesterday when he said it was the atonement. The blood brings an atonement for sin. It means a
Hallelujah.
I went on Google because Jenny had her computer, and I said, what does atone mean? I put atonement in there. It says pay. You pay. You pay the price. You pay. You atone for it. Instead of destroying it, you make an escape. Or the blood is our escape. It's an escape from sin initially, and it's escape for the things that bind us in our natures, our self-life, to be escaped. So this morning, Pastor, I give you back this service, we need to believe the Lord as we take this cup. There's power in the blood, and let the Lord wash us again. Cleanse us again. Cleanse our thoughts, our minds, our words. Oh, my husband prays every day, Lord, put a seal over my lips. He's taken that verse. Lord, set a watch over my lips and what I say. So there's power in the blood, the wonderful blood of Jesus. And I believe this morning as we partake of this communion, He can cleanse our souls, our spirits, our tongues, our mouth, and that He can set us free from all that hinders the precious blood of Jesus and from our self-life. Let's believe for my self-life, my attitudes. Attitudes can destroy our life. Have an attitude against somebody. Bad feeling. Oh, it's so wicked. We need to lay those things down and say, Jesus, There's power in your blood to set me free, to make the change, to bring me, make me pleasing in your sight. When the Lord looks at me, I want him to look through the blood of Jesus on me, always covered with his blood, because he can't look at sin. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. We thank you this morning, Lord.
Hallelujah.
You're here. You've come, Lord, to take us deeper.
Thank you, Lord.
You've come to set us free.
Yes.
We thank you for the blood, the precious blood of Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
The blood that makes atonement for all sin. Oh, wash it. Wash it. Cleanse us. Go from heart to heart, Lord. Go from heart to heart. Oh, la ba sha da la la ba si ta la la ba ja ya ro 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 ro
nothing but the blood of Jesus. One can make me whole again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the glow that makes me white as snow.
信心啊，来应用。 We heard a lot about the blood this morning, but let's by faith appropriate the blood. Apply the blood on the doors of the houses we live in spite of this coronavirus spread. It'll pass by us. Or the flu spread and pandemic. It'll pass by of us. Or measles, whatever it is. No plague shall come near to us as we apply the blood. The blood. 圣经啊，说到这个，不但是血做见证，还有血和圣灵。 Now the Bible talks about the water or the word and the spirit and the blood. John says, not only two, but three. The power is in the word, the spirit, and the blood. And then it says that three are one. Three are one. One testimony. Let's claim it as we sing it. Alright? There is power, wonder working power in the world.
Power!
You said that this is your body, and we should eat it, and this is your blood we can drink in. You've given us all yourself.
赞美主，我们要为此献上感谢和赞美。你要祝福每一位今天早上要来领受的，主啊，让我们重新得力， Lord Jesus. Renew your power in us, Lord, as we partake this holy communion this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And be seated as Brother John and Brother Jeff come forward to distribute it. Oh, she says. 赞美主，就分了，现在就开始分了，位置主席过了，赞美主。Yes, Lord Jesus. 他的血也是他的生命，我们刚才
听到利未记十六章那里说，生命在血的里面，赞美主，我们也是领受他的生命，他的生命是复活的生命，是有大能的生命。那我们带着这个信心，这样来领受。Amen. There is life in the blood.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus.
Amen.
All the life. That resurrection life.
Hallelujah.
It has power.
Yes.
Drink it and it drinks power. Amen. He said, I think so.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again. There is
power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
我们坐下好唱那个第二节 Under the Blood.The second stanza, for example, she's the kind of Jesus. 刚才我们唱的十五首。起来了，那个信心啊力量都起来了，因为圣灵跟宝血是一同做见证的。还有为什么我们常常讲到圣经的话，神的话的时候，当圣灵啊也同时做工的时候呢，那个神的话就成为人的力量，就那个叫人活起来。
那是因为圣经告诉我们，这三个见证就是一个见证，就是三位一体的神同时在做见证。所以我们呢，如果分开啊，就没有能力。你如果单单的是学，就是学，或者是道，如果没有圣灵，道就是字句，没有能力。但是如果你要三个连起来，那就一同做见证。所以每次我讲到神的话语的时候，那个恩膏一来，如果是从神来的话，那个圣灵一定会做见证，一定会叫人再活起来，对吧？这是圣经的教导。我们的问题常常都是把三位一体的神分开了，父啊，就是子圣灵都分开了，这样的就哈利路亚。哦，我们要记得这个 Just briefly, these three. The word, the power, the word, the blood, and the spirit. But in the Chinese Bible, the word translates the water. Water. The water is the word of God, they say. Water can mean the word of God, it can also mean the Holy Spirit. And then John tells us that these three testimony, three are one. It's like the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. We have. What we have is the triune God. You can never separate. You know, you can never separate the Father from the Son. And John says, if you have the Father, you have the Son. If you have the Son, you have the Father. And then, of course, you have the Holy Spirit, the light. Hallelujah. 我们要记得, it's important that we remember that. 今天早上有一个 email, Master 告诉我, 我没有来得及看的，那就是Sister Edith, 我们一直为她祷告嘛，最近啊一直没有她的消息啊。那今天早上她就得到了营地的那个 Munsinger 的弟兄的消息，就是说她现在已经送到那个 hospice, 他们所以没有消息，没有发消息，就是要好让他家里头的亲戚亲友在纽约的，还有在好像是在哥伦比亚 ，his daughter is a missionary to is a Colombia or Guatemala, I don't remember.Edith's daughter,
Yes, they
were. 要等他家里面所有的人都到了，他才是发消息这样。那个 hospice 呢，它跟医院不一样的，就是啊，医院已经没有办法了，哦，就送到 hospice 这样那种。他是癌症啊，到了最后一期这样。所以我们一起来为他祷告，我们一起来为他祷告。那个这个时候很不容易啊，那有很多人常常啊，为了这个人的疾病啊没有得到医治啊，就起了疑问啊，甚至有一些争论啊。但是呢，我们一点都不要有疑问，因为很清楚哈，圣经说得很清楚，就是神所定的时候，凡事都有定时，生有时，死有时，神定的一个时候在每一个人的身上啊。当然我们并不是说就每一个生 cancer 的人都一定会死，因为 我们不知道神定的时候在他的身上，我们还是要祷告，还是要求医治，这样的，还是要有信心。但是一个人他的时候如果到了的话呢，我们就要接受，就是神的旨意，神所定的那个时候要尊重。有的基督徒他这一点只知道神会医治疾病，为什么不医治呢？而且忽略到神在人的身上哈，就是有预定的啊，就是居住的年限呢都是有定好的，还有我们居住的地点也是神所定的，这一点我们还不够相信。如果相信的话就没有问题，但是不要忽略神还是医治疾病的，好多的人还是得到了医治，但是呢也有好多的人哦，也是也离开世界，到了那个时候的话什么药都没有用。所以一切都在神的手里面，所以我们一起来为那个伊丽丝的家人祷告啊。我们这个时候呢只能够求主哈，如果真的他的时候到了，当然医生都认为是没有办法了，那么就求主很平安的哦接他回天家。但这个时候呢特别为他家里面的人祷告，也赐给他们有安危有平安哦，就这样接受啊神的旨意这样子。So we should, before we close the meeting, we should pray for Sister Edith and her family. You know, nobody can change God's will. And somebody said that God never makes mistakes. And that I personally believe that all the times under the sun are predestined and predecided by God. There's time to be born, there's time to die. Now who decides these times? God. Now this coronavirus, this spread, when's going to stop? Nobody can tell. It's all in God's hand. God is the only one who can stop it when his purposes are served in all nations. This is not just a regional, you know, national, regional issue. It is a global issue. God has something to say, you know, to the whole world, nations. So I believe everything is in his hand. In that way, we have peace. As we reclaim the salvation, atonement of the blood, we should have peace, we should have faith, and we should have security. We should feel secure, Lord, under the blood. I love this song, Under the Blood, Under the Blood. 我们一起站起来来为他们家人祷告。Let's all stand up and just pray for Edith. Maybe John can lead us in this prayer.
Oh, Father, we just pray, Lord, that you just reach out, Father.
Oh,
that you are omnipresent, that you are there, Lord, Father.
Yes,
that you just cover their family, Father.
Oh,
your precious blood.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da.
Oh, cover Sister Edith, Lord, her body and her heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, that you just keep her, Lord, and her family, Father, that you just give them the spirit that belongs, Lord, and that you comfort them, you give them security, Father. We thank you, Father, for all that you do. Thank you for her teaching, Lord, and her service, Father, and the legacy and heritage that she comes from. And they will continue on to her children, her family.
Yes.
Oh, we just pray for all the fellowship, Lord, that are gathered
yes.
together in our hearts around her, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, just bless her, Lord. Speak to her. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. In your name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Now, Brother Jeff, will you say grace for the, or the food is not here yet? 你就用中文结束祷告吧, 也都会谢饭。 赞美主。
主啊,我们真是感恩一起来到你面前, 我们相信你的宝血完全能够遮盖我们。
Amen.
也能允许我们一切的罪, 我们知道的罪摆在你的面前。 你都清楚，主啊，移除我们的罪，也给我们有力量，使我们在这个生活当中能够为你做出见证来。阿门。主啊，谢谢你，我们相信你在我们身上有你那美好的心意。求你美好的旨意能够成就，让我们能够顺服你，匍匐在你的面前，接受你所给我们的一切。让我们就是这样的。 来到你面前，说我们什么都不能做，哈利路亚，唯有你能够做，成就你在我们身上的心意。主来荣耀你的名，荣耀你自己的名。主，谢谢你也再次把伊迪斯姐妹仰望在你的手中，她是你手中的器皿。也把他们全家都仰望在你的手中，也继续使用他们和他们全家。让。 让他们，让伊迪斯在这个世上所做的，都能够为你做见证，在这最后的一刻，你也来成就那美好的旨意在他们身上。主啊，真是求你自己在这里能够得到荣耀。主啊，让我们能够诉说你自己的作为。谢谢你，主，也为着我们桌上要的食物，要来的食物献上感谢，求你祝福，也求你来洁净。 让我们在这当中能够重新得力，奉耶稣的名祷告。
阿门，阿门。好，我们就结束在这里，就是 dismiss， 谢谢。